From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our program. Today, being Christmas Eve, I have set aside the usual studies in order to deal with the subject of Christ's birth. But before we come to this evening's topic, Christ's birth, why, let's hear another extract from Robert Bell's testimony. Robert has been injured in a serious road accident, but that doesn't stop him drinking. Shortly after getting out of hospital, he goes back to the pub, but he cannot order as he normally would. Instead, he leaves the pub, only to be confronted with a gospel open-air meeting. Here he is, ticking up the story from that point.
And as I walked out to the front door, I could hear Reverend McRae preaching on an open-air gospel mission. And I went up to that gospel mission, and when I went up and stood and listened, it was as if somebody had ran up and said, "Robert is on his way up now." And I realized that I was a sinner and that I wasn't saved. And all that was being preached, I knew that I needed it. A fellow called Timothy Anderson came over and said to me, "Robert, you'll be out on Sunday night." So I promised Timothy faithfully that I would go out, and so I did. And I must say, as I went to that church, I began to hear the gospel. And as I sat there in that church, I realized that I wasn't saved. And on the 9th of August, 1987, Reverend McRae preached out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That night, I got wonderfully and gloriously saved. I can remember just getting down on my knees and confessing that I was a sinner and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and to save me and to cleanse me from all my sin. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ will do for any sinner, no matter what sin is in your life or what you have done. And you know, I could feel the change. I can remember coming out of the church, and Ruth Badger, who is my cousin, was sitting on the front seat crying and crying. As I came out, she ran over and hugged me, and she says, "Robert, we've been praying for you for years. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've been prayed for years and you're not yet saved. But could I just encourage those that do pray, you pray on, for God answers prayers." And you know, I went home that night, my wife had been come out with me, and many's the time, like nights before, when I had told Alan I was going somewhere, she knew at the back of her mind I wasn't going there at all. So I went home, and I can remember going into the living room, and I can see my wife yet sitting over in the corner of the couch, nearly scared what state I'd come in on. As I opened the door, I says, "Alma, I have something to tell you." And she says, "I know what you're going to tell me." And I just told her that I got saved. And the two of us sat and cried and cried, but it was cries of joy.
Robert Bell will be speaking in our church in Kilskerry on Lord's Day, December 30th at 7:30, when he will give his testimony. You're very welcome to come and join with us on that occasion. Now back to this evening's subject. This morning, we dealt with the topic of when Christ was born. Now I wish to speak upon the topic of why Christ was born. This question is easily answered for us by the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This glorious statement of truth that lies at the very heart of the gospel tells us a number of very important things. Firstly, it tells us that all men are sinners. Because there are different levels to which men may engage in sin, to which men may be seen to succumb to evil practices, this leads some people to believe that not everyone is really a sinner. But that is not so. In any hospital, which deals with a plague such as leprosy, there are those which even our untrained eyes could tell were very ill with the disease, for the ravages of it are very plain upon their bodies, while others we may well consider to be unaffected by it, though the specialist could tell that the disease was indeed at work within that person's body. So it is with sin. In some instances, the plague is much more obvious than it is in others. This is something that Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and the verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Some men are much more obviously corrupt and depraved, while others it does not at first appear to be so with them. Who was it suspected Judas of being the traitor that he was? Who was it saw the dark wickedness that lay within his heart? Certainly none of the disciples. No, we are all sinners by nature, though in some the inner wickedness has grown and developed much more obviously. That means that all men, being sinners, are in need of salvation. You know, little sins will bring a person to hell just as surely as great sins. The difference will be in the degree of punishment that the differing sinners will endure throughout eternity. There are differing degrees of sin and differing degrees of punishment, but all are sinners. Each one of us have a corrupt and corrupting heart. Matthew chapter 15 and the verse 19 contains the Saviour's words on this matter. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And again, Romans chapter 3 and the verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must note the general terms that are employed in these statements. It doesn't say some men, a few men, or many men. It says all have sinned. Let us take to heart this gospel truth that we are sinners through and through. But what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 clearly teaches us that Christ has come to save sinners. The word save means to rescue and preserve from harm and danger. It was first used in the New Testament by the angel who spoke to Joseph about the birth of Christ. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The name Jesus means Savior. And it was the central purpose of Christ coming into the world to save sinners. How does Jesus save sinners? Well, let us remember what it is that sinners need saved from. Being sinners, they are guilty of breaking God's law and are thereby subject to the penalty of a broken law, which is eternal damnation. John 3 and 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We are born into this world under condemnation, and each day we but add to that condemnation by our continuance in sin. To be saved requires that a means of avoiding the penalty of the broken law must be found, and a means of fully keeping the law is also required. And as well as this, we need to be changed within us, so that we no longer are the slaves of our depraved natures and so continue in defiance of God. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? But the Lord Jesus Christ undertook all these things on behalf of his elect. Let me read you some verses. First of all, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. One more verse, Romans 10 and 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So you see how the Lord Jesus stood in under the law and fulfilled all its obligations for his people. But what of the penalty of the broken law? He kept the law, fulfilled the obligation to obey it, but what of the penalty since we broke the law? Well, again, the Savior undertook for that matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And again, and hear the words of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes ye were healed." Christ took the place of his guilty people and died for them. He fulfilled the law for them. He obeyed the law fully and completely. And then, as well as that, he paid the penalty of a broken law. But what about the new nature? Yes, being a sinner, I've failed to keep God's law, but Christ has done that on behalf of his people. Being a sinner, having broken God's law, now I must pay the penalty, but Christ has done that too for his people. But I need to be changed, otherwise I will just continue in my sin. Well, here is how Christ changes us. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The grafting of a branch from one tree into that of another tree is a wonderful example of how the sinner is made a partaker of the life of Christ. By faith, I embrace Christ, am knit to him, and I become a partaker of his life. As he says in John chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." One last quick thought. Notice that the message of Christ is to be received by faith. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15? "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The gospel is a trustworthy statement that may and should be believed by all, for thereby they will be saved. Have you received Christ, the gift of God? For in so doing you will receive eternal life. It was for this reason the Savior came into the world so long ago. How sad that amidst all the hullabaloo that fills the air at this time of the year, so many miss this vital point. Don't be among them, but trust Christ. Do try and join us in our church on Lord's Day the 30th at 7:30 to hear Robert Bell tell the story of his conversion. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.